Come on, would you love Him right now? Come on, would you lift your hands and lift your voice all over this place today? Oh, what an exchange. What an exchange, God, that You would take my place, oh God. Oh, today, Lord, we are full of gratitude. We're full of love and appreciation for the price, God, that You paid on Calvary. Oh, our hearts are so full today. And I am thankful for that old, rugged cross. I'm thankful for blood that still works. I'm thankful for every drop of blood. I'm thankful for the price that You paid, oh God. And today, Lord, may we not rush Your presence. God, may we not have an agenda today. Come on, I wonder if every hand could be lifted right now and surrender. God, whatever You want to do in this place today. God, ready my heart. Ready my mind, oh God. Lord, let me lay aside the guilt and the shame. God, let me lay aside everything, Lord, that would delay what You want to do in this place. God, and may we fix our eyes upon the cross. May we fix our eyes on the empty grave today and rejoice in knowing that our King lives eternally. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, with a hand clap of praise. Would you love Him right now? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Resurrection Sunday. He lives. You know, we sing it, but I don't think we really appreciate it, that because He lives, I can face tomorrow. If He did not, then I would not. But because He does live, I can face tomorrow. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord. To all of our guests, whether you're here just on your own or you're here with family today, we say thank you for joining with us. We pray that you've already felt, that's right, they deserve that. Amen, amen, amen. We are so delighted that you're here today. Amen. There are no accidents with God. You may have come just to be with family, but God came to be with you. Amen. God came because He knew you were going to be here today. He was already here. He is that omnipresent God. Amen, amen. I'm so thankful for all of you that showed up Friday night. I echo what Brother Ryan already said. What a beautiful night that it was that paved the way for today. I want to give honor to Brother Gordon and Brother Kale for helping me out with these crosses this week. Amen. Aren't they beautiful? And Sister Sophia Lopez for placing our stickers on there for today's service. Amen. And Brother Joe Nance for his help with our picture photo op out there in the foyer. He did a fantastic job. We're so thankful for him. Amen. Amen. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Going to be reading from the ESV today. They'll have it up for you if you don't have your Bible with you today. Amen, amen. Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 9 through 15. It says, "For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Colossians 1:14 in one translation said, "For in the Son all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation." He took it and he nailed it to the cross as a public display of cancellation. He said, "It's canceled. It's done. It's over." Is anybody thankful for that today? Come on, would you let them know that you're thankful for that today? Thank you, Lord, that in you, Lord, you took it and you nailed it to the cross, setting it aside, oh God, making it a public display for everybody to see that it has been canceled. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. For the next little while, I want to preach to you on that word, canceled. Canceled. You can be seated in the house of the Lord today. Canceled is a word that has been used more in the last several years than perhaps ever before. The term canceled has gained prominence in this age of social media, where public figures and organizations can face swift and very severe repercussions for perceived wrongdoing, often resulting in damage to their reputation and careers. To cancel someone or something, it is considered in our culture today as the act of publicly denouncing and withdrawing support from individuals, companies, or entities perceived to have committed actions or express views that are considered offensive, controversial, or socially unacceptable. When someone is canceled, it often involves a widespread boycott of their work, products, or public appearances, as well as social media backlash and criticism. And I understand this morning that there are those that perhaps you're aware of that the crowd declared canceled because of a wrong that they had done, because of the abuse of women or children. They were canceled because they said something socially unacceptable, because of a racial slur or something that was said in hate. They canceled that company. They canceled that CEO or that person. There were companies that crossed a line with some things and were canceled. And we can get behind that and we can support that today, because we do not get behind anybody or anything that is wrong. But also, there were those who took a stand for what is right, but because it isn't what the crowd deems socially acceptable and popular right now, they too were canceled. People trying to pray were canceled. Athletes trying to take a stand and wear John 3:16 or a scripture on their jersey or on their eye patch or on their shoes, they were being canceled for taking a stand. People who would not cave to the agendas being pushed were canceled. Just this very week, the White House banned religious Easter egg designs from its art contest for children, saying, "We are focusing exclusively on egg promotion. The fact that we are so worried about promoting an egg and not hurting that company's feelings and not ruffling any feathers, that we're going to cancel Christianity, that we're going to cancel the cross and cancel the empty tomb and cancel all the good that God has done. They said, we cannot promote just one viewpoint. A few years ago in St. Louis, they had put up a massive, massive video screen on the side of one of their buildings on the side of the freeway, measuring approximately 100 feet tall and 65 feet wide. On this screen would be risque images of what was taking place on the inside of said buildings. Alcohol promoted, homosexuality promoted, all being put on display on this massive screen that the city stamped its approval on and said it was fine as long as they changed the images within the term limits for being placed on the side of the road. Meanwhile, also in the state of Missouri, at the same time, there were those that were pressing and pushing for the state of Missouri to ban roadside memorial crosses because they were deemed too distracting for the driver. That people who had lost a loved one or people who wanted to put out a cross on the side of the road, they were trying to ban that because the cross is just too offensive. The cross is too distracting. There are those today that would do anything to cancel the cross because it speaks of blood, it speaks of loss, it speaks of my sin and my failures, it speaks too close to where I'm at today. Don't distract me with the cross. I don't want to see my sin. I don't want to know that part. I don't want the part that afflicts me. I want the part that affirms me. I don't mind Christianity as long as it jives with my life and my choices. Someone I read this past week on social media reaching out, they said, I'm looking for a church that teaches truth and preaches truth and lives out that truth, but also is accepting of my lifestyle choice. I want the part that affirms me. Not the part that challenges me that says, hey, you can do better. Hey, there's something greater for your life. You can come as you are, but you need to leave differently. You need to leave changed by the power of the blood. You need to experience resurrecting power and know that I once was lost. I once was blind. I once was buried in a tomb. But thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in His name. Thank you for the cross. Where it started off with a heinous event or report, and canceling seemed like something we could get behind. It seemed like something we as the church might could support because we too do not stand with those who harm children. We too will get behind those who do wrong and say we do not accept that because of what you've done to women and some of the injustice that you've put on people. We can get behind and support that. We didn't want to get behind somebody who took advantage of people. But the crowd and the culture now has clout. They now feel like they can cancel whomever they want and whatever they want. They say, you know what, if it hurts my feelings, I'll just cancel it. If it ruffles my feather, I'll just cancel it. If the preacher starts preaching too close to where I live, I'll just cancel the preacher. If you get too close to my business, I'll just cancel you. If it disagrees with me, I will just cancel it. You don't see this topic the way I do. Canceled. You don't support my sin. Canceled. You don't jive with my lifestyle. Canceled. A celebrity was given a microphone. The crowd was given a social media account. A star athlete was asked his opinion on very weighty matters that really he had no options to speak otherwise. And so he just jumped in with what the crowd was saying. There was now this crowd that has become both jury and judge. There was a crowd that had brought Jesus to be canceled. And Pilate is there and he's searching him over, probing him, asking questions, looking at his track record, looking at the life he lived, and looking at this man who stood before him. And he said, I hear what you're saying. You're wanting me to cancel this man. You're wanting me to do away with him because he has stirred up the people, because he has bothered you, because he has preached truth as far as I'm concerned. And now you want him canceled. But I don't know that I can do that, because when I look at him, I see an innocent man. I see one that has done no wrong. How can I cancel this man who has done nothing but good from what I see? Herod wanted nothing to do with him. Pilate's wife came in and she said, I had this dream. And honey, I'm begging you, please don't do anything wrong to this man. He has kept me awake at night and stirred in my spirit. I'm telling you, he is innocent. Don't do anything against this man. But the one who should have called the shots that day turns to the crowd. And Luke 23 in the ESV says, Pilate tried to reason with the angry mob, but their voices prevailed. I always let somebody off the hook, he said. I can give you Barabbas, who is a prisoner who has been proven guilty. The facts are there that he is an evil man. There are things in his life that prove he is guilty. He has done wrong. He is not a good person. If we're going to cancel anybody, it ought to be him. If we're going to put anybody on a cross, it ought to be Barabbas. But I can release him if you wish. And the crowd, the microphone is turned to their favor. The social media accounts take off to decide what is right and what is wrong. And Matthew said that the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd. Persuaded the crowd who just days before were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then these chiefs and high priests come up and say, hey, you need to ask for Barabbas. Hey, you need to ask for Barabbas. Come on, if the whole crowd gets together, if we all say it loud enough, if we all get on Facebook and say it together, if we all show up outside of the courthouse, we can cause a big stink. We can cancel Jesus and we can ask for Barabbas. We can cancel all that is good and all that is holy and all that is right. And we can ask for wrong and evil if we will just go. So I want you to ask for Barabbas, and I want you to ask that Jesus be crucified. No one governing them, no one directing them. They cry out, we want Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. We want the bad. Cancel the good. Well, what do you want me to do with Jesus? Crucify him. Crucify him. Cancel him. Get rid of him. Put that label on him. We don't want anything to do with that man. We don't want anything to do with his righteousness. We don't want anything to do with his perfect love that casteth out all fear. Cancel that man. Crucify him. You feel the sting of the words from Isaiah who said, woe to those that call evil good and good evil. We can get behind you standing for what is right. But now the crowd chimes in. And a minority begins to speak out, being persuaded by somebody else's agenda. And they begin to cry out, crucify him. They're given a weighty vote and they want to cancel what is right. John 3:19 said, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It had nothing to do with him. It's that their own deeds were evil. My heart is not right. My mind is not in the right place. Men cannot be trusted with that kind of weighty vote when our deeds are evil. So what now? Now you have Jesus, who is innocent, being put to death. And Mark 15 tells us that Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, gave them Barabbas and turned Jesus over to be crucified. But Jesus said, "You do not take my life. I lay it down willingly. I don't want you for one second thinking because I'm walking into this that you have canceled me. I don't want for one second for you to think that you've got the upper hand on my plan and that you are canceling my plan and you're going to cancel my blood and you're going to cancel my church. I know that's what you're thinking leading me to this place, but I was the lamb that was slain from the very foundation of the world. I've already said it's going to happen. I've already established it, and you don't know what's going on, but I'm about to cancel sin once and for all. You're not canceling me. I'm canceling the wrong. I'm canceling the hurt. I'm canceling the sin that is in your life today." 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our wrong so that we could be made right." He said, "I know you've got some hang-ups. I know you've got some sin issues. I know you've got some struggles, but I'm taking them on myself. I'm bearing every one of them, and I'm taking them to the cross and setting them to the side and nailing them, and they have been canceled." All of this taking place, and then you see these thieves who were crucified for their sin. They were criminals. They were thieves. They were troublemakers. They had issues. And their cross was theirs. Their cross was there because of their transgression. Their cross had their name on it. It was there to bear. How do you know this? Because one of them says it himself. One of them said, "We indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. This cross is mine to bear. I deserve this cross. I deserve this cross right here and those crosses over there. I deserve this cross for what I've done. I deserve to be on this tree. But when I look at that man that is beside us, he's innocent. He's not guilty. He's done nothing wrong, but yet here he is beside us. There no doubt is a cross with my name on it. There is a cross today with your name on it. It was mine to bear. It should have been my due reward. It was me that should have been canceled. If anybody deserved to die, it ought to be me for my transgression. It was my fear. It was my addiction. It was my lust. It was my anger. It was my bitterness. It was my fault, not his. If anybody deserves to die on that cross, it is me. If anybody needs to have that reward, it is me. Don't cancel him. Don't get rid of him. I deserve that cross today. Maybe it's not even sin. Maybe it's a struggle. Maybe it's a mindset. Maybe it's a sickness that would love nothing more than to take you to your grave. Maybe it's something in you that has made you consider taking your own life. A spirit of depression, a mindset, a mental health issue that you have struggled with. And in and of itself, you may not consider it sin. But when you allow that to take over your life and every thought, and you just accept that for what it is, and you don't really give God the opportunity to work in your life, then that issue becomes a much bigger problem in your life. And there's somebody in the house today that has said enough is enough. Not because the doctors can't do something for me, not because my therapist can't do something for me, but because he said that he took all of that in himself. He said that he went and nailed himself to that cross so that my depression could be canceled, so that my anxiety could be gone away with. God, today let me give you the opportunity. Maybe mental health isn't a sin in your mind. Maybe you just see it as a sickness or disease. But the word said in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on that tree, that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Better yet, Isaiah 53 says, surely he hath borne our griefs, or our sickness. He bore our sickness and he carried our sorrows. That is pain, both physical and mental. The word there for pain that he mentions there is both mental and physical. He said, I carried that. I carried all of those sorrows. I carried that depression. I carried that anxiety. I carried that fear with me. And the Bible says, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. With every stripe that he took upon his back, we are healed of every sickness. We are healed of every issue. We can experience that thing in our life being canceled. Cancer needs to be canceled today. Heart disease needs to be canceled today. Depression needs to be canceled today. God said, I took my life and I poured out my blood and I took stripes upon my back so that all of that could be removed. Crucifixion was an extremely cruel and painful form of execution. The victim would be nailed to that wooden cross and left to hang until they died from exhaustion, asphyxiation, or shock. It was not only physically agonizing, but also carried deep social stigma and humiliation, as it was often done in a public place for maximum visibility, where they would hang him there as a public display of humiliation. He said, oh no, I'm not embarrassed by this. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Because he loved you, he laid down his life and said, I give it willingly. I come to give my life as a ransom for all that are out there. This isn't a public display of humiliation. This is a public display of cancellation. I want everybody here today, I want every soldier, every person that shouted, crucify him, every person that slapped me and spit on me and cursed me, I want them to say, I'm canceled. I'm canceling your sins. I'm canceling your hurt. I'm canceling your pain. This is a public display of cancellation for your life. Right there in front of everybody, he hung there bleeding, suffering with every breath, being mocked, shamed, and ridiculed. Some walking by. Why don't you take yourself off? Why don't you remove yourself from that cross if you are who you say you are? And others walking by, no doubt in their mind with sympathy, thought, why don't you take yourself off? Why would you do this? Why would you put yourself through all of this shame for those that don't even receive you? Why? Why? All of the trouble, the pain, the beating, the nails, the crown of thorns, and the crowd. And they hear him cry out those words, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. God, would you take that canceled, that policy of cancellation, and would you just begin to put it on each and every one of them? Canceled. Canceled. Forgive him. Forgive her. Forgive that one. Forgive that family. Forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. They've tried to cancel me. They've tried to cancel my plan. Even Peter tried to cancel all of this. But God, this is your purpose and your plan. Don't do away with them. I know they have meant to cancel me, but they know not what they do. The purpose of his cross is not to do away with you. The purpose of the cross is to do away with the sin that mars our life. Meanwhile, they would do anything to cancel him. He took each and every sin that was mine and yours, and he canceled any and all debt that stood against us. Where the accuser would come and begin pointing to a cross today and say, this one should be yours. This cross has your name on it. One of these crosses up here is for you today. Or maybe there's a different word on your cross. Maybe we don't have one represented today, but in your mind, you know what it is, and you know what the accuser has spoken over your life today. Other things in your life, it's going to be the cross that you die on. But each and every one of them, he canceled. Setting it to the side and nailing it to the cross. There was a debt, an IOU from me to him that I would never, ever be able to repay. But he would use his last breath and his final words to say, it is finished. That word there, it means that they had a paper in legal documents that they would use, and where words had been written, where things had been there that was on paper, it was on animal skin, and that word could just be wiped off and blotted out. They would take a sponge and they would soak up all that was there, and it would just erase the whole paper, and you could start again brand new. When God said, it is finished, he said, I have taken that sponge and I've wiped it out. I've taken away every word. I've removed it. That debt that you owed has been paid. That sentence you needed to serve has been served. How did that happen? Because I took it to the cross and I nailed it down. What did I do? I took that sentence that was against you and I crucified that sentence. I said, addiction is not going to have its way in their life anymore. Depression is not going to have its way in their life anymore. Anger and bitterness is not going to be who they are, because I took it and I nailed it to a cross, and I said, it is finished. No more. No more. It's out of your life once and for all. I'm closing, Brother Clatty, if you would come. This Easter Sunday can be whatever you want it to be. If you want your life to remain the same, it will. But if you're here today and you say, I need something different for my life. I need something different for my family. I've been running away from a calling. I've been running away from God. I've been trying to do all that I can to cancel all of these things. But really and truthfully, I see a cross today that is mine to bear. And when I realize the price that he paid, it moves me. Today, perhaps you've never truly come to God and found a place of true repentance, where you kneel down at an altar, you come with hands lifted, and you come and you say, oh God, there's wrong in my life. I know that there is. God, we were all sinners. We were all saved by your grace. You died for each and every one of us while we were yet sinners. Not one of us in here today has lived a perfect life. We've all been marred, God, by the world and by thoughts and by ideas. But God, today, God, I want to repent of my sins. Not just apologize. God, I want to walk away from that life. I want to walk away from those addictions, those things that I know are harmful for me, both now and future. God, those things that tarnish my family, God, I'm ready to do away with it. And today, perhaps you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, going all the way under. They didn't just put him halfway in the tomb. They put his body all the way in. And that's what we do here. We make sure every part of that old man goes under the water in baptism, and that you can come up washed of all of your sins and all of your transgressions in the only saving name of Jesus. Maybe you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost. In your mind you think, well, yeah, I went and I lifted my hands and I said, I receive you, Lord. I want you in my life. It's more than that. There were those that lived by that model, and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You believed and you accepted it, but have you received the gift of my Spirit since then? Well, what is? We haven't even heard what the Holy Ghost is. Well, let me tell you. It's when you begin to surrender your whole heart and your mind and your life to God. And all of a sudden you're praying and the tears start flowing. And your heart starts pouring out. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth begins to speak. And you begin to pray, God, I want you. I want this change in my life. I want you to be the difference maker. And all of a sudden you're praying and God begins to take over. And you begin to speak a language you don't even understand. Because the Spirit itself begins to speak through you. And it's an outward sign both for you and those around you that God just filled you with His Spirit. Well, who's that for? Well, Acts 2:39 said it's for you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Are there any here today that never had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, but today you have? Would you just let your hand be lifted right now? If you've ever been to that place where you did not have the Holy Ghost, but today you're Holy Ghost filled and you've spoken with other tongues, would you lift your hands as a testimony that it's real, that you've experienced it firsthand? It's not just something some preacher told you was going to happen. You experienced it yourself and you're here today because of it. It's real. It's real. It all begins when you acknowledge that gospel that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What He did was no accident that day. There are some today that have received that promise. You saw their hands lifted. They've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. But yet still there are those things in their life that keep showing back up. And my life that keeps showing back up. And you're ready to see them canceled once and for all. And God is ready to take place today in this house to see to it that all of your sins and all of your struggles are set aside and nailed to the cross. Each and every one of my mistakes is under the blood. Can we stand all over this house? And if you would, take that sticker that's on the pew beside you. If you don't have one beside you, maybe there's one in front of you or behind you somebody could give you. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus is talking with Simon Peter. He said, a certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Today in this house, perhaps you looked over and you saw somebody with tears streaming down their face. Perhaps somebody shouted earlier and screamed out, or ran the aisle, or jumped, or dance upon this platform. It was an outward expression of saying, you don't know the debt from my past that he paid. You don't know like I know what he has done for me. You want to know why I respond the way I do? Because you don't know the debt that stood against me that has been canceled. And so I love Him deeply because He forgave me deeply. I dance with great joy because He purchased my life and He buried my sins, and now I can have that joy. The other night in prayer, as I prayed over this service, God began to show me what He wanted to do in this place today. And that's why these crosses are here represented today with words. And again, maybe your word's not up here. Maybe there's another word in your mind. But as I began to pray, God reminded me of a story my wife had shared with me from a book that she was reading. And this lady who was having a real hard time with forgiveness went to her counselor. And she began to talk about all the hurt in her life, all the sorrow, all the people that had let her down, the abuse she had suffered from her husband, the pain that she felt from her own mistakes. And she's pouring her heart out to this counselor, who turns and hands her 4x6 postcards that were white and said, "I want you to write down every wrong that you've done, that your husband has done, the words that were said against you, the actions that were done against you, from those that hurt you, from a church experience that hurt you, everything your mind can go to. I want you to take it on these 4x6 postcards, and I want you to begin to write down everything you can think of. Moments of anger, moments of weeping, moments of heartache." And before long, those cards were laid out all over the office floor of all the wrong that had been done. And she sat there for a moment and she said, "Well, what now?" And then the lady turned and handed her 5x7 solid red postcards. And she said, "Now I want you to take all of these and go lay them on each and every one of those postcards." Each one she would go cover it up. Before long, that lady started crying because she knew what was taking place. I can't look at that hurt anymore when it's covered by the blood. I can't go back and point to that sorrow anymore when it's covered by the blood. I can't go back and point the finger at my spouse anymore because we're living for God now, and that's covered under the blood. Every mistake, every lie, every poor choice. But the sin and the pain and the struggles were so raw and real. She began to write and cover all of these up. It's covered in red. Covered in red. Covered in that blood. And today in your life, there is something that's been weighing you down. We will not ignore sin. We're going to deal with it today. Maybe the cross before you isn't yours, but it's your son's. Maybe it's your daughter's. Maybe it's your spouse or a loved one. But today I pray there be some soul searching in your life. God, you have taken it all and nailed it to the cross. Romans 5 said, "The law entered that the offense might abound." Hey, this is yours. This one belongs to you. Sin abounds. It's in your life today. But He said, "Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound." I'm going to stand in front of it. I'm going to stand in place of it. There's no bitterness here. There's no more heartache here. You don't have to live with that here. And the other night, as I began to pray, God began to show me what was going to happen in this place if you would let God work. I want to begin with our leadership and our ministries and those licensed ministers. If you have your sticker today, I want you to come up to the front today. And today when we come up to the front, I want you to bring that sticker. And when I tell you, I do not want to see one of these words left at the end of this service. I don't want to see any more bitterness. I don't want to see any more anger. I don't want to see any more fear. I don't want to see any more of these things that come up in our life. I want you to come And I want you to place that word canceled over each and every one of these words and let it be canceled in Jesus' name. Let bitterness be canceled. Let fear be canceled. Let depression be canceled. Let lust be canceled today. So right now, I want to start with our leadership, and I want them to come. I want all of our licensed ministers to come, and I want you to put it on the cross this morning. I want you to find one. Maybe it's not yours. Maybe it's somebody in the pew beside you. Cancel it anyways. Maybe you're thinking about something else today. Cancel it anyways. As they come, I want the rest of you to begin to come. I want you to find a cross. And don't just come and stick it and leave and go to the restaurant. I want you to come and find a place to pray. If you need to go back to the pew, that's fine. But find a place and kneel down and say, God, I don't want any more of this in my life. God, I'm tired of struggling with depression. I'm tired of struggling with fear and anger and bitterness. God, may it all be under the blood today. You canceled it, God. You took all of my debt, everything I owed you, and you said it is finished. Come on, if there's any of you that need the gift of the Holy Ghost today, I would invite you to linger at the altar this morning. Find a place and repent. God, I want my heart right today. God, today as we gather with our families, today, God, I don't want one word left. I don't want one moment, God, of depression existing from this point out. No covetousness, no envy, no strife, no contention, no lying. God, I want to be clean today by the blood of the Lamb. Come on, find somebody around you right now. If you've already placed your sticker, begin to pray over them. God, let it be canceled in their life. God, don't let them suffer, Lord, the way that I have suffered. God, I want it removed. I want it removed today. Come on, don't leave one word. Don't leave one letter. God, today we want it covered by the blood of the Lamb. Help me to let go of that hurt. Help me to let go of the bitterness. God, it has no hold of me. God, forgive me of my trespass. And help me to forgive others. God, when I consider the debt I owe you, God, may the love I show you today testify of the debt I owe.